All right, let's turn to Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis 19. And I'm thankful for this opportunity to share God's word, and I hope that it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to us, and that it'll, you know, help us to realize, you know, how serious things are. I just wanted to talk about, you know, giving to missions. You know, by God's grace, I've been able to give to missions pretty much all my life, and, you know, continue that on through my marriage, and, you know, have made sacrifices to do that, but I can honestly say that the Lord will bless you for doing it. And, you know, our family has never gone hungry. We've never gone without. And, you know, and I think about the days that we're living in now. You know, I was thinking about this early. I was like, I make more money than ever, but I spend more money than ever, you know, with inflation and everything like it is now these days. And I think this year probably would be a true test of faith to see whether I'm going to go through with what the Lord wants me to do or not. Not that I'm, you know, belittling it. I believe the Lord can meet the needs, and I know that He will. And so we're going to step out of faith and trust the Lord to give us what He lays on our heart for missions. And that's what I'm hoping that you'll do too. I'm hoping and praying that this will be the greatest year for missions that we've ever had. You know, times are hard, but God is not limited by the things that are going on in our world today, and I'm so glad that He's not. And I was going to talk about being chameleon Christians tonight. You know, it's probably a strange portion to think about missions revival talking about Lot. But really, I was thinking about it the other day. I was actually thinking about it on Friday before Dad asked me to preach. And so when he asked me, I said, well, I know what I need to talk about. And so I thank the Lord for laying it on my heart. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon it. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day and for many blessings. We thank You for this opportunity to share Your word, Lord. And Lord, I can't do it in my own strength, Lord. I'm dependent upon Your strength to get this to the people, Lord. I know that You've got to be the one to speak to people's hearts, Lord. And it's not in my ability, Lord, or anyone else's, Lord, but it's in Your ability, Lord, because You are all-powerful, Lord, and You can get the message and the points across, Lord. And I pray that it would be a help and a blessing to our church, and, Lord, that it would help us to do more for You in these days that we're living in. Help us now, we do pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'm going to just talk about a few thoughts before I go into the scripture. But I was thinking about Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, my key thought that I want to talk about is our Jerusalem, kind of what Seth talked about in his Sunday school lesson this morning. This is something the Lord's really been dealing my heart about. I need to be more diligent in my Jerusalem and reaching those that I'm around every day. When we read here in a minute, there's a great warning about not doing God's part in fulfilling the Great Commission. And you know, when we look at Lot's life, if we just read this story here, you would really question whether or not he was saved. And rightfully so. But over in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, it says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So Lot was a saved man. It says he was a righteous man. And, you know, I got to thinking about his upbringing. You know, Lot actually was taken care of by Abraham. And he was trained in influence. And you think about Abraham was the very patriarch of the nation of Israel. So really, Lot would have been raised as Abraham's own son. And, you know, once a person, that scripture there talks, you know, once a person has become saved and is a child of God, the Holy Spirit inside them is going to cause you to feel uncomfortable in the wickedness of this world. And, you know, we'll read about some of the bad decisions of Lot's life that ruined his influence and his outreach for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see, according to that scripture there, that the things that went on around him did bother him. And so he was a child of God. And, you know, in this world that we're living in today, some things should bother us. A lot of things should bother us. You know, but I was thinking about the verse that says, you know, the salt has lost its savor. Well, we're that salt. The church is the salt. And we've lost our savor. You know, the worldliness and carnality of familiarity with the things of this world is killing Christians and it's killing churches. And, you know, the Bible says this verse here, and I've been thinking about this verse a lot lately. It says, yea, and all who live godly shall suffer persecution. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel like I'm feeling enough persecution. Now, I'm just saying, I know we're not persecuted in our nation, but honestly, if you're living for the Lord, you're going to face challenges. And I don't feel like that my challenges are enough. You know, if you're doing right, you're going to face challenges. And, you know, and it's in our tendency to kind of shy away from opposition and to get away from it and to live comfortably. And, you know, I was thinking about myself and a lot of the children in this church, a lot of younger people. You know, we've kind of just grown up accustomed to the way of life of the church. You know, I think about Davis and Tucker, Rachel, Ben, me, my kids, Anna, and, you know, a lot of the ones, little ones here, you know, that's all we've ever known. So we just kind of have come accustomed to it. It's just a way of life for us. And I think really we've taken for granted the things that we have. And, you know, and yes, that can be true of the older generation as well. But, you know, I think about first and second generation Christians. They had to fight. They had to put up a fight, you know, and stand out and make a difference. And we need to do the same thing. You know, I'm afraid that our generation has become accustomed to, you know, prosperity. And just we've just gotten comfortable. We know the things of God. We're satisfied with what we have. And really the vision of the church is dying. You know, I was reading in my schoolwork the other day, it talked about Solomon. You know, Solomon is an interesting character because really he was the wisest man in the world. But it talked about, you know, Solomon, you know, in the end of his reign, he messed up. And he was a wicked man. I mean, he ended up worshiping idols, had thousands of wives. But, you know, it talked about him. You know, he grew up in David's household, one of the man after God's own heart. But he messed up because he had become accustomed to it. He was just really used to the riches and the palace life. And then, and you know, he messed up. And I don't want that to be the case for me or our younger generation. We don't need to get comfortable. But anyway, getting into the story, you know, Lot here, he represents the Christian. And in verses 1 through 3, we see the welcoming. So read verses 1 through 3. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." You know, really, from reading this chapter, it seems like he started off well. He welcomes these angels into the city and invites them into his home. And he obviously noticed that there was something different about these men coming into the city. He knew they were different from what he was around, surrounded around. And, you know, he did the right thing as a child of God by welcoming them into his home. You know, as Christians, fellow Christians should always feel welcome in our home, you know, and in our lives. But there's another side of this too. You know, knowing his spiritual condition, he kind of knew how to blend in with his surroundings. You know, he knew the right things to do. He knew the right things to say. And, you know, we know the right things to do and say. You know, he felt quite comfortable in Sodom. He felt comfortable with the sin around him, but he also knew how to act spiritual. And I'm afraid a lot of us know how to act spiritual. You know, we know the right things to do. We know the right things to say, especially when we're in church or we're around Christians. We know the right things to do. And it's easy to talk about the Lord and to praise him and talk about his blessings when around God's saints. But you know, when we're at work or, you know, in other places and another company of the non-believers, are we as quick to talk about the Lord and what he's done? And I have to say that I'm very ashamed, but I'm not. I just am not. And, you know, so we need to be cautious of that. And I know I'm going to cover a lot of information, but hopefully something will stick with you. And then the next few verses, verses 4 through 11, we see the wickedness. Verses 4 through 11, we see the wickedness. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which come to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do with them as you see is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them that shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. You know, thank you for listening to this story here. It sounds a lot like the days we're living in. You know, we live in a day of great wickedness where sin abounds. You know, the sodomites, the perverts, they're out there, they're everywhere. And you know, not only was there great wickedness in this city, but these people were very open and bold about their sin and their wickedness. And they were not going to stop at anything to fulfill their lusts and their desires. You know, we live in a world that's flaunting wickedness and is promoting it. And we live in a society that condones it. And, you know, we know the end story for Sodom and Gomorrah. So we know the end story for our land, too, if we keep going down this road. And, you know, it's sad to see the things that are going on in our nation. But then in verse number 8, we see a sad state that Lot was in. He says, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do to them as ye see good in your eyes. Only to these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. You know, he was willing to give his daughters over to these wicked perverts. What kind of parent is that? You know, and this should be a caution for us parents to do everything in our power with the Lord's help to guard and to protect our children from the evils of this world. You know, we need to be willing to stand up and take a fight and fight for our children and for this world's influence on our children. You know, I just think about our children. They're exposed to enough stuff without us even really trying. You know, I think about my kids, things that they see just going to the store today that I never even saw or heard of till basically until I went out and got a job. Just the mess that they see, it's discouraging. But, you know, and what a shame and disgrace it would be to actually willfully give your children over to this world and what they want to do. You know, our stand for our children is the only chance that they're going to have in surviving in this world, because this world is wicked. And may the Lord help us not to give our children over to this world. It's a mess. And we need to fight for our children and on our knees, most of all. Fight on our knees. And you know, think about, you can protect them, but are you letting them watch stuff on the TV? They got a phone. They got, you know, there's so many ways that Satan can get his foot in the door if you're not careful. I'm speaking to myself. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody, but you need to be careful and guard your children, because Satan wants our children. And then verses 12 through 17, we see the warning. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning rose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon him and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them. And they brought them forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So the angels, they gave Lot warning of this soon coming judgment upon the city. And you know, we as God's children have been given the warning of the coming judgment of God upon this world. And you know, the angels advised Lot to inform his family and encourage them to leave. We've been commanded by God to go tell our families and friends to leave with us, to leave this world with us. And, you know, we see the weakness of Lot's witness for God. He's a Christian. Remember that. And right here is basically the main part that I want to bring across in this message. How effective is your witness and my witness for the Lord? You know, it says that he seemed unto them as one that mocked. So, you know, it's obvious that he was a saved man, because the Lord said he wouldn't destroy the city until Lot was gone. And because it said, and delivered just Lot, vexed of the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So we see that he was grieved by the sin and the wickedness that was going on around him. And we need to be grieved. But, you know, our grief is not enough. You know, I feel grieved by the things I hear all the time, hear and see, but unless I do something about them, it's not really getting me anywhere. You know, you can feel bad about things, but that's not going to, with that, our grief needs to motivate us to take action against the wickedness of our day. And you know, apparently, Lot never expressed his disgust with the sin around him. He never talked about it. He never, you know, tried to witness or to warn his sons-in-law. And it says, it seems that unto them as one that mocked. So how about us? You know, what are we doing to our family members? Do they see us, you know, witness to them? Or do we kind of just go with the flow? That we just seem as one of them? You know, what kind of effect do we have on them? And, you know, that brings a sobering thought. Does your life back up what you believe? You know, he had a weak and anemic testimony, and this affected his influence as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate." You know, our strength spiritually is in our separation. It's not in our likeness to the world. And that's what these modern day churches are trying to do. They're trying to bring in the likeness of the world. You know, I think, you know, it's easy to get in the mindset, you know, I can have more influence on somebody if I share more in common with them. You know, that's the thought the devil tries to get you to think. But nothing could be further from the truth, because, you know, the Christian, our quest to reach the world through worldly efforts, the one who ends up having the influence is the world. They have the influence over the Christian. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, think about the Jews. They're God's chosen people. And what is it that distinguishes them from the rest of the world? Is it their likeness to the world? No, it's their peculiarity that sets them apart. You know, you can think about, they can live anywhere in this world, they're always known as the Jews, no matter where they go. And I was thinking about when they wanted a king. They wanted to be as other nations. You know, God was displeased with this. You know, really, with the exception of David and part of the rule of Solomon, their period of rule by kings was a very troubled time. You know, God brought judgment upon them because they were not satisfied. God was supposed to be their ruler. And, you know, one day he eventually is going to be. But really, God as their ruler was the distinctive feature that set them apart from all the other nations of the world. God as your ruler and as my ruler sets us apart from the rest of this world. You know, if he's on the throne of our hearts, and our lives can be lived to the fullest capacity that we can, both physically and spiritually. And the Bible says that in all things, he might have preeminence. He needs to have preeminence in your life. He needs to have preeminence in my life. He needs to rule every single part of our lives. And may the Lord do that. That's part of revival, giving everything that you have over unto the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing him to control every part of it. And then verses 18 through 20, we're going to look at the wrangling. Verses 18 through 20. And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou magnify thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee into, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." You know, God told Lot through these angels, he told them where to go and what to do. But Lot, he argued with it. He argued with the Lord. You know, how many times has the Lord, the Holy Spirit, urged us to do something and we argued with him? I can't do that. They don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or I don't want to hand that gospel track out. They're busy. I might interrupt them. I have that thought many times. You know, God had a perfect place. He had a perfect plan of where he wanted Lot to go. But yet Lot thought that he knew better. How many times does Lord have a perfect plan for us, but we think we know better and we go on ahead and do our own thing? You know, and you would think, honestly, after God has just spared him, just told him about the coming judgment and spared him, that if the Lord's willing enough to do that for me, then he can take care of this. I should trust him in this as well. But he didn't. He just argued with God. You know, how many things and times, you know, me and Seth talked about this, Dad, you know, we know God has spared our lives from the very pits of hell, but we can't trust him in the decisions of our daily life. We can't trust him with that. I mean, how can you trust him with eternity, but you can't trust him for your daily needs? What a shame and disgrace that is. You know, and I was thinking about this, God lays an amount to give to missions on your heart, and you think, well, I can't afford that much. Well, I'm gonna just take a break from that and go look at this. Go read Matthew chapter number 6, verses 26 through 34. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter number 6. I can't trust the Lord. He doesn't know what I'm going through. That's foolish to have that thought, but we do. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 26 through 34. Says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall not he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, God knows every need that we have, and if he's going to get us to heaven, he's going to take care of our daily needs. So you think about with missions giving, you know, well, I can't afford to give more to missions. Well, God said he's going to take care of your needs. He said, have no thought for the things tomorrow. God's going to take care of them. And I think about Psalm 37, verse 25. It says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. As long as you're doing what the Lord tells you to do, he's going to take care of the rest of it. The problem is, a lot of times we don't trust him. You know, and God allowed him, I think with this verse there, he allowed Lot to go where he asked. And Dad's told me this many times, never mistake God's permissive will as God's perfect will. You know, we settle for God's permissive will when we avoid his perfect will. You know, and we see that God had patience with him. You know, he could have easily just killed Lot and would have been justified in doing so. I told you what to do, you didn't do it, so I'm going to kill you. But honestly, the same thing could be said about you, and the same thing could be said about me. You know, we fail the Lord every single day, but he's patient, he's long-suffering, he cares for us, and I'm so glad that he does. And you know, I think about this, God told him, he said, flee to the mountain. Well, you know what that mountain represents. That mountain represents Jesus Christ, who is our mountain. He's our rock, he's our refuge, our fortress that we can flee to. But he chose to go somewhere else instead of going to the place that he could have gotten help, that mountain of Jesus Christ. You know, may the Lord help us with that. And then verses 21 through 22, we see the withholding. Verses 21 through 22. It says, and he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. So God would not allow this judgment to come on Sodom and Gomorrah until the righteous had been removed. And Lot was that righteous man. God's withholding his judgment upon this world for the righteous sake. You and I, those of us who are saved, are the righteous. And this verse here, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That verse there is a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is he who letteth will now let. He, the Holy Spirit indwells the believers. The Holy Spirit indwells you and me. And the only way the Holy Spirit can be out of here is for us to be out of here. And you know, he is the restrainer of evil and the restrainer of the wrath of God upon this world. And you know, the Bible says you are the salt of the earth. We preserve this world. We preserve it from rotting and from the rotten sin. And you know, God cannot judge this world for the righteous sake. And you know, I think about that verse there. If you ever need proof for the pre-tribulation rapture, that's it right there. Because God said he cannot reign, he could not judge them until the righteous were taken out. So we're going to be taken out of here. If you ever had any doubt about it, that should settle your doubts right there. And then the next point, in verses 23 through 25, we see the wrath. See the wrath in 23 to 25. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. You know, God told Lot that he's going to destroy the city with fire. And you know what? God's told us that he's going to destroy this earth with fire one day. And you know, he kept his word then, and he's going to keep his word now. He's going to do it one day. You know, I think about a lot of people want to gloss over sin. You know, even we as Christians a lot of times try to condone our sin and our wrongdoing. But you know, I think about, Dad was mentioned this morning, talking about the sins of omission. You know, a lot of us are guilty. You know, we commit sins and we do that. But a lot of times the sins we're guilty of is not doing what we know we're supposed to do. That's the sins of omission, you know, and sin is offensive to a thrice holy God. And that's why God sent his son into the world to die for us, is because God's holiness will not allow him to tolerate sin. And, you know, this earth is going to be judged by the wrath of Almighty God. And the only hope this world has is through you and through me. And that's the point I'm trying to get across. Lot, he didn't care for those that he was around. And then we see the weakness in verse 26. It says, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And I thought about this, you know, because of Lot's unfaithfulness to the Lord, his wife was not willing to follow him when the Lord told him something to do, commanded him to leave. You know, for those of us who are husbands and fathers, the Lord has designed for us to be the spiritual leader of our home. That's our job. It's our responsibility. If we fail in that responsibility, then our wives are not going to be willing to follow us, and rightfully so. You know, I think about his very lack of concern for his family's spiritual condition caused him to lose his wife because he was not concerned. You know, if we don't do our part in leading our families for the Lord, we're going to lose our families to something else. That's my biggest fear as a father, is just thinking my weakness and my failure to obey God, the influence that it could have on my children one day. And I beg the Lord, pray all the time, Lord, please help me to be sensitive to your leading. I've seen too many children go astray because of their parents not doing what they should do. And I don't want that to be the case for me. And then I'm going to skip over to verses 33 through 38. Verses 33 through 38, and see the worst thing here. And this is talking about after they've escaped, they went up, they ended up going up to the mountain and living in a cave, Lot and his two daughters, that it says, and they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday night with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. Thus were both daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger she bare a son and called his name Benami, and the name of this, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. You know, if things weren't already bad enough, then Lot's daughter schemed and plotted to commit incest with him. I can't even imagine. But you think about this, which talks about there the two sons that were born. Those two children that were born to his daughters brought about two nations that ended up becoming two of Israel's worst enemies in the years to come. You know, so his sin, it just multiplied because he wasn't obedient to God in the first place. You know, if you want to start back from the beginning, Lot had no business being in Sodom and Gomorrah, really. But, you know, I'm taking from the concept that, you know, he was there, but he had no influence. And, you know, we need to be where the Lord wants us to be. You know, this whole story came about as a result of Lot, who was a Christian, not being sensitive to the vexation of his righteous soul, or if you want to say, the dealing of the Holy Spirit inside of him. You know, Lot was not willing to reach his Jerusalem. And I think, first of all, your Jerusalem is going to be your wife, it's going to be your children, your sons-in-law, you know, and then on to his city. You know, I just could use it as an example. He was there in Sodom and Gomorrah, so he should have had some influence there. You know, and I got to thinking about this. Just think about Lot being a Christian, what kind of influence, if he had yielded to Jesus Christ, just say he was supposed to be in Sodom and Gomorrah, what kind of influence he could have had. Just imagine if he had been like the prophet Jonah. You know, Jonah, I know he had his problems too, but he preached about the coming judgment of God upon Nineveh, and that entire nation repented. So had Lot done his part, if he had done his part, perhaps Sodom and Gomorrah could have been saved. I don't know. That's just a hypothetical. But really, if he was doing what he's supposed to be doing, the Lord could have used him. The Bible says to preach the word be in season and out of season. And you know, and the Bible also tells us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. My thought for us tonight is, what is your life preaching? Are you a chameleon Christian? Do you just blend in with your surroundings? Are you honoring Christ everywhere you go? Am I honoring Christ? And I thought about this verse here, but Matthew 9:37-38 says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, we need to be the laborers for Christ. And I think about the Rose Fest. We've got that opportunity coming up. And it would be encouraging to see more people out there helping out. You know, yes, you have to give up your time to take a Saturday to go out there, but it's well worth it because it's doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to get out there and help pass out tracts. You know, it's not hard. And honestly, you know, a lot of times you have it built up in your mind that people are not going to want it, but people generally will take a gospel tract. You might have a few in there, but they will take it. You know, my thought here is when we get to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, I think the Lord's going to flash up our life before us and show us what we could have been, and then he's going to show us what we actually ended up being. You know, I think about that, and I don't think I'm going to be too pleased with what I see. And you know, but my prayer is that the Lord will help me to be busy about the Father's business and doing the most that I can to serve him where I am. You know, Lot, he was a Christian, and he could have had an influence, but he chose to, you know, to go his own way and do his own thing. And unfortunately, his testimony ruined the city. It ruined his family's life. So just really, you think about the grand scheme of things. Yeah, and I want to say this, you know, really, it's easy to give to missions. I can do that all day, but it's a whole different thing to actually do it yourself. You know, God, like I said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I think Brother Murray said this one time. He said, don't expect your missionaries to do what you're not willing to do yourself. So we can send them out to give the gospel, and we expect a lot out of them. But what are we doing? Are we telling people about Jesus Christ? That brings conviction to my heart because I know I'm not doing what I should be doing. You know, we can't support these missionaries, expect them to bring great numbers of souls. Yeah, that abounds to our account, but we need fruit from our own lives. Think about the song says, "Must I go in empty-handed?" I don't want to go in empty-handed, so that means I need to get busy. And the day is dark, it is, but God is not bound by the darkness of today. And as I said, hope this will help you really put things in perspective. We could be like Lot. You know, a lot of times we condemn him and think about what he didn't do, but we're just as guilty as him. I see a lot of myself in Lot. But may the Lord help me to turn around before I go that far and get things right with him and to really be on fire and serving him. And pray the same for you. And let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for all your many blessings. Thank you for your word and, Lord, the warnings that it gives to us, Lord. I pray for myself that you would help me to be a stronger witness for you and that others can see you in my life and that I'll tell them about you, Lord, that I'll be quick to talk about you and to praise you. And Lord, that you'd help our church, Lord. I do pray that this would be the greatest year in missions yet, Lord. But not only in the money that's given, but in souls that'll be saved here in our Jerusalem, that we'll do all that we can to spread the gospel right here where you've got us at, Lord. And Lord, just help us, I pray, to have a prosperous year spiritually and bringing souls to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.